This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Stocks appear to be rebounding on Wall Street in early trading a day after the Dow Jones Industrial Average logged its worst day since 2008, in part because of coronavirus concerns. President Trump today meeting with Republican senators, pushing for a payroll tax cut that he says would help hourly workers impacted by the coronavirus. He says he wants workers to be in a position so as not to have to miss a paycheck, and that businesses shouldn't be penalized for the virus. Impacts. Officials say President Trump was exposed to a couple of members of Congress who were exposed to someone who had the virus, but the president's not planning on getting tested for it. The Surgeon General says,
the president's got the best doctors in the world, and they are going to talk to him about his risk and about the circumstances that he's putting himself around.
General Jerome Adams speaking on ABC's Good Morning America, and this is USA Radio News.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss. Does the sound of guaranteed income have you thinking about buying an annuity? Find out why Fisher Investments considers annuities about as attractive as a migraine, with their nosebleed-level fees, no easy way out once you're in them, and other pitfalls. If you have $500,000 or more, call Fisher at 1-800-859-5500 for your free guide, Annuity Insights. 1-800-859-5500. It's your retirement. Know what to ask.
Friends and family, did you have a great night's sleep last night? I did. I'm healthier than I've ever been. I work better than I ever have. And you know what? You can have that health. You can have that good night's sleep if you order a MyPillow. Try it. Mike Lindell guarantees it. He's got a 60-day money-back guarantee on the MyPillow and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the Radio Listener Special. Use my promo code USA or call 1-800-951-8175.
On the eve of another round of Tuesday primaries, Joe Biden brought his recent backers and former rivals on stage at a Detroit rally. One of them, Senator Cory Booker, who threw his endorsement to Biden earlier this week.
I am so proud to be on Joe's team because Joe is on your team. I am so proud to be with Joe because Joe is with all of us.
Former candidate and U.S. Senator Kamala Harris also endorsing Biden and appearing at that rally last night. They released the names of two U.S. Marines who were killed in Iraq over the weekend. The Department of Defense saying Gunnery Sergeant Diego Pongo of Simi Valley, California, and Captain Moises Navas of Germantown, Maryland, both died on Sunday in north central Iraq. The two were helping Iraqi security forces during an operation against an ISIS stronghold there. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and auto pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
An ongoing oil dispute between Saudi Arabia and Russia is on President Trump's mind. Trump speaking with the Saudi crown prince by phone yesterday to discuss the crisis, which has been adding to turmoil in global financial markets, already reeling because of coronavirus. Russia and Saudi Arabia are in a titanic battle over the global oil market, and it's been pushing gas prices lower here in the U.S. The coronavirus is hitting especially close to home for four members of Congress, as we hear from USA Radio's Robin Walensky.
Four members of Congress who attended CPAC to self-quarantine, Texas Senator Conservative Ted Cruz, Georgia Congressman Republican Doug Collins, Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz, and Arizona Congressman Paul Gosar all had contact with a man from New Jersey who has the coronavirus and is being treated. The Conservative Political Action Conference held at National Harbor, Maryland at the end of February.
And it appears California is the place to live if you want to be happy. At least that's according to a new study from WalletHub. It put together the top 200 happiest cities in America based on depression rates, income growth rates, and other factors. And three California cities make the top five. Fremont's number one, San Jose number three, Irvine's number four. Plano, Texas came in second, by the way. Madison, Wisconsin was five. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Well, Super Tuesday, huh? In five states, got a caucus going in. We'll throw that in, and we'll see what's happening here. I mean, we go from Joe Biden on his back, almost counted out, and within 72 hours, he's back on his feet. I mean, Cory Booker's endorsing him, Kamala Harris. I mean, who would have thunk? It is obvious what is happening here with the Democratic Party. The machine is up and rolling. There's no way that Bernie Sanders, and I think Bernie Sanders knows this as well, that the establishment of the Democratic Party, they're not going to allow Bernie Sanders to be the standard bearer. The bad news is for his followers, as passionate and as loyal as they are, if they're going to get the memo, if they're seeing the writing on the wall. Of course, after today, it'll be even more clear. And though some are talking about a brokered convention, chances are, it's a little bit of a chance. You know, we kind of love to see those kind of things, you know. It's probably why we go to NASCAR races and that, because we're there not to watch the race. We're there to watch the accidents. And so this is kind of like one of those examples, because humanoids, we're a peculiar course of people, aren't we? Well, we're going to talk about the history of food production. Okay, I mean, it doesn't sound all that sexy, but it really is. You just hang here with me for just a moment. Let me explain what's going on. I mean, we've got so much to fight about at the dinner table, and from food fight at Thanksgiving and all the holiday stuff. I want to tell you that food fear, this is the title of a new book, How Fear is Ruining Your Dinner and Why You Should Celebrate Eating, by Damian Mason. Food fear is the lively dinner conversation that we all need to have, according to the author, who combines his farm background, agriculture, education, industry expertise with wit and edge. The result is a food book that is factual, informative, and entertaining. How Fear is Ruining Your Dinner and Why You Should Celebrate Eating. Damian, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me on, Bill.
Hey, well, break it down for us. I mean, what's been going on? I mean, I've had this conversation for a long time with dear friends and people who, like yourself, in some form of the business and orbit around, our food table and, our agriculture table and that. And I'm going, what is happening? I mean, is today's food better or is it worse because of, chemicals and all the other thing? What is it that has America so afraid of food?
Because we have time and the luxury of being able to be afraid of our food, I guess, is the Do you need, certainly with what's happening right now, do you need to have a better example that humans are emotional and behave irrationally and go to fear as their first reaction based on the coronavirus, which has so far killed less people than have choked on chicken bones in the last month?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, we're just humanoids. I mean, we're fun objects to observe, I guess, you know, so.
Yeah, so the deal on food is really, it kind of comes down to this. We have been making really good food for at least the last 100 years. You know, we invented agriculture 10,000 years ago, humans did, and even for that 10,000 years, it still was better than running around trying to, you know, scrape up some berries out of the woods. But even for that 10,000 years of agricultural production, the food was still not really in abundance. It's only in the last 100 years in places like the United States of America where we've gone from scarcity to surplus. And so we're making huge amounts of food. It is the safest, most abundant, and the biggest variety of food that has ever been known in the history of humankind. And so then people are like, oh, but my gosh, I heard that, you know, somebody in Bakersfield got salmonella. Well, probably so. We have 330 million people in this country. There's only 3,000 per year that die of a foodborne illness. So when you put it in perspective, it's just amazingly, remarkably small, the smallest it's ever been. Mm-hmm. Yet the media loves to push this story, and folks that go to yoga and get on social media then can decide that somehow there's something dangerous about their food. And it's just not true at all.
Exactly. So, and with those 3,000 that die, I mean, how much is, you know, in a sense, self-inflicted because they were irresponsible in handling the food?
Yeah, like about half of it comes down to they didn't cook it right. They had, you know, they ate a piece of pizza that was sitting out on their end table overnight, you know, whatever. But the stuff that can actually be even traced to the processing and production of food is like half of that. You know, a good example that I use in my book is Bluebell ice cream.
Yes.
And Bluebell ice cream had a terrible situation a few years ago. They had a listeria, a little bit of a listeria problem in one of their processing plants. And the media had it so that, my God, the average American thought if you eat ice cream, it's going to kill you. And it's this sinister thing that's in the freezer section at your grocery store. And again, it's just not true at all. Like three people died and a few people got sick. It's sad. It shouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in perspective, that company that employs thousands of people almost went out of business. Wow. Over that dreadful situation.
Well, wasn't there a person that, you know, went into a store and wasn't there a Bluebell, you know, half gallon of ice cream? They opened up the lid and licked it and put it back in the freezer.
Do you remember
that? That was bizarre. Yeah.
It's beyond bizarre. And again, that's human behavior that has nothing to do with your food. Yes. That's a great example, though, Bill. I always say, you know, you keep asking me, because I'm a farm guy, you know, I own farms, was raised on a farm, I write books about agriculture, my education is agriculture, so I'm kind of in this small minority because most people are not from that background, don't get it.
Exactly.
So, you know, I'm in some sort of social circle, and then, hey, Damon, you're a farm guy, now is it true the hormones that they're giving these cows are why my kids' feet are so big? And I'm like, who told you this? Wait, no. Your kids' feet are big because of genetics. Your kids' feet are big because you have abundant nutrition. Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense. Okay, you know what? You're right. Your kids' feet are big because you did too many drugs in college. That's kind of my go-to answer.
Exactly. No, it is bizarre. And it goes back to the basic premise, Damien. We've always said that in the absence of fact, opinion reigns. And my goodness, with 320 million humanoids in America, there's lots of opinions flying around. Case in point, as you said, this current coronavirus deal. The other thing is that we're so fast. I mean, we're you know, I say we live in the microwave generation. We stand in front of a microwave and yell, hurry up. You know, when something comes up, we want the facts. We want everything right away. And, you know, forget about due process. Forget about, you know, even like the coronavirus, you know, let the scientists do their job. Quit trying to, you know, put the president's head on a guillotine and take his head off because we don't have all the facts yet. And but we've got a good team of people. We've got some good scientists that are on the job and, you know, they'll get us there. But, you know, this came out of nowhere. It's like we didn't know the coronavirus was hibernating there in China.
Yeah, you know, I'm putting up a video on my social media feeds right now, and it's the truth, and this is kind of brings it all together. My book, Food Fear, The Realities of Food, you know, like I said, you've got the most well-fed populace in the history of humanity here in the United States of America, with more abundance of food, more choice, and more safety, yet freaking out more than has ever been over this idea that there's something sinister. And I'm thinking, what is it you don't see? And
yeah.
I know that I'm more logical than many, and probably you are as well. And like, why is it that you want to feed into this irrational emotion? And I guess it's because you don't have a big negative to
exactly.
do. So.
We've got to go to break. More from Damien after
Indian
this.
Wells, California, May 29th to June 1st for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient civilizations, crop circles, and so much more. Over 150 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts: Paul Hellyer, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, Emery Smith, Stephen Greer, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and more. Get your tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ, based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Over the years, there have been so many people who have suffered from not having life insurance. It's not that they didn't care about protecting their loved ones. It's just that they didn't know why it's so important. If you died, how would your family pay the bills, the mortgage, let alone plan for a better future? This is what life insurance is all about. Providing for your family, even after you're gone. And level term coverage is the best option. It's not expensive and it's not complicated. You need 10 to 12 times your income in life insurance protection. And you need to call ReliaQuote. They represent 15 of the top life insurance providers, and their agents are experts at helping you find the right policy for your needs. Protect your family. Give ReliaQuote a call for a free, no-hassle quote now. 800-478-0793. 800-478-0793. 800-478-0793. That's 800-478-0793.
I took my family on a vacation like the one you're about to hear about, and we had an amazing time. And the best part about it was the price.
If you're looking for an amazing, fun-filled vacation for you and your family for an unbelievable price, keep listening for details on how you can get a fabulous four-day vacation for just $99. Westgate Resorts has been a leader in affordable vacation plans since 1982, and now you can choose from over 10 beautiful resort destinations across the United States, like Orlando, Florida, or the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee. So whether you love world-famous theme parks or the tranquility of nature, Westgate Resorts has your next dream vacation. Plus, if you're one of the first 100 to call, we'll tell you about our $29 Las Vegas special. Call right now to book your amazing vacation for only $99.
800-883-1612. 800-883-1612. Call 800-883-1612.
This advertisement is being used for the purpose of soliciting sales of a timeshare plan. Restrictions apply. Go to westgateterms.com for complete offer terms.
We don't see color here. We just love America. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, fresh and independent. Okay, I admit it. A little bit of attitude, too. You know, you got to have that in there. I mean, after all, I am a Hispanic, so you got to have a little bit of salsa in the conversation. Why not? Damian Mason continues with us. We're talking about his brand new book, Food Fear, How Fear is Ruining Your Dinner and Why You Should Celebrate Eating. Damian, this must be entertainment for you at times when you're around people and they have an idea of what food is all about and they come up with these ridiculous theories. And, you know, it must crack you up because you realize how ignorant we are about food and how it's progressed over, as you say, in particular, the last 100 years. And because you catch wind of some of these myths that just have to have you just, you know, laughing your butt off.
Yeah, so I'm a farm boy raised doing, you know, I was out there when I was an 8-year-old boy doing work, driving the tractors, feeding the calves, doing the work on a dairy farm in Indiana. And then I've got the agricultural economics education. So I look at it from the business side, the money side, the reality side. People say some outlandish stuff. And again, I just within the last 2 weeks, someone was carrying on at a mixed company group I was at about how we're losing all of our farms. Mm-hmm. And this woman truly believed that we, our food system was going to have an issue because, quote, we are losing all of our farms. I said, well, first off, where did you hear that? Well, and then she went on, and it was some sort of the person that I know that said this, and so and so, and they lost their farm. And I said, okay, so a person that you know that knows a person that knows a person told you that somebody lost their farm. I said, you know what? There's a little shop where a man and woman that are 83 years old, they sell flour in bulk and hoes, and they don't have a store anymore because Walmart came to town. Does that mean that there's no flour or garden tools? Well, no. And so let's admit that there's some reality of the marketplace. Your food system is not in peril. You're not going to not have your lettuce. In fact, there's generally everything is in surplus right now. And it's just remarkable to me the things that people say or they hear and that they repeat. There are less farms than there were 50 years ago, just like there are less phone booth manufacturers. You know, the economy evolves and the marketplace continues to persist. This business, for some reason, Bill, everybody believes it should still look like a red barn with Betsy in the meadow and the little children running around barefoot. If you said, hey, here's what auto manufacturing looks like, and you showed them the Model T rolling off of Henry Ford's assembly line 100 years ago, people are like, yeah, that doesn't look like that anymore.
Of course
not. Somehow in agriculture, we want it to still look like 100 to 200 years ago.
Yeah, and I think some of these echoes reflect off the idea that, you know, small farmers are not in the huge numbers that they used to be for the very exact reason that you just spelled it out. And, and how much has government interference come into play that is promoted, like in the broadcast business? It's now controlled by a handful of industries. It's very rare. I mean, even with our show, because it is independent, we operate independently because we're not beholden to one of those six humongous companies that are controlling most of the radio stations. In fact, the other night, somebody asked me about the change in landscape. I said, well, at one time you could go into every market. There was anywhere from 50 to 100 radio station owners. Today it's, maybe 5 or 6. That's it. They control everything. And they don't even live here in the market anymore. You know, they're in,
That might be bad for information. It might be bad for media. But the average consumer doesn't even consider that there is anything wrong with that. Mm-hmm. And in agriculture, there's this thing where the average consumer says, well, these small farms, I want these small farms. You say, well, that's fine, but let me give you some perspective. Of the 2 million farms in the United States of America, farming operations, 2 million farming operations, not necessarily the chunk of ground you drive by, you know, that's got corn in it, but 2 million farming operations in the United States of America, 58% of them produce less than $10,000 worth of marketable product per year. Now, to put that in perspective, that's almost almost nothing. That's like that's like five steers or you know, that's
well, you can't even take care of your own family for that, right?
No, no. So that's what I'm saying. 58% of our 2 million farms are small. So this whole idea when everybody says, I want there to only be small farms. I say, well, you better get used to being hungry, because the small farms that we have, which are more than half of the farming operations in the United States, don't produce enough food to feed you. So you do need large agriculture, because that's where the large, abundant production comes from.
Let's talk about more myths. What other myths do we need to have fun with?
Well, we also, right now, the economy is not really good out here in agriculture. Remember, and I'm an ag guy, I'm a farm guy, my buddies are farmers, I was raised there, and I own farms, I do business with farm people, but the reality is we are going to lose some farmers. And people like, and I'm not talking about the suicide, that's a sad issue, because, you know, of isolation in rural areas and some of the mental health issues that are happening. But the reality is, everybody, when they say, oh, well, I heard that we lost some dairy farms. And I say, yeah, we did. And it means we lost some dairy farmers. Just like the one I was raised on, we don't milk cows there anymore. It was antiquated then, and it certainly would be antiquated now. There is the evolution of the marketplace. But folks get worried that somehow, well, we have less farmers than we used to. That's a true statement. Again, we also have less phone booth manufacturers than we used to. Right. It's not affected our productivity. The truth is, if you look at all of the G8 countries, the economic powerhouses like the United States of America, it's got very small percentages of the population that actually is involved in production agriculture. In general, the more people involved in farming, the worse off your country will be economically and from a food security standpoint.
Wow. Well,
most people don't even think of that, but I'll give you the country of Haiti, the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Half of Haitians farm, but it's the poorest and most food insecure country in the Western Hemisphere. The country of the African country of Chad, 80% of that country actively involved in agriculture, yet they're one of the most food insecure and poorest countries on earth. So generally, as agriculture advances, your economy does too, and most folks don't think about that. That's why when I wrote the book Food Fear, I made this book, Bill, so that the average suburbanite says, now I get it, because
we
produced food so well, you could go and produce Google. You could go and invent Nike. You could go and grow these awesome companies that have made the United States the dominant economy, because you didn't have to worry about your groceries.
Amen. No, you're exactly right. You address sugar and corn syrup. You say it's the new tobacco, huh?
Yeah, you know, corn syrup has gotten really, really a lot of fire, I guess, in the last couple of years. We do have an issue with diabetes in the United States of America. We've gone from about 1% of the population to almost 10% of the population is type 2 diabetes. Can I say this because of sugar and corn syrup? No, but the correlation between consumption, body weight, obesity, and diabetes obviously lockstep together over the last 30, 40 years. So I believe that corn syrup is going to be facing lawsuits the way tobacco did, because in the United States of America, we don't just quit consumption. We sue the hell out of the companies that make the stuff first. I mean, look at tobacco.
Exactly. We want to keep them standing till they get fleeced. And, of course, the amazing thing for the people that claim the injury, you know where most of that money goes to, right?
Well, the trial attorneys or the
exactly government. And the Justice Department. And I asked one time, I said, what does the Justice Department do? Well, that just goes in their general fund. Are you kidding me? How about if we put that money, we'll put all that money that the Justice Department gets, we'll assign it to Social Security, okay, to help pay back the money that the politicals stole. So we don't need money going into some empty, you know, war chest for the Justice Department. Thank you very much. Just my little sidebar here. So what's our future look like? We've got about 35 seconds left here as far as food is concerned here, Damien. What are you projecting?
The future food is going to be even more variety. The millennials and post-millennials like things on their terms, and they will continue to have more of that. We've got commodity production down. We know how to make chicken and corn and all the basics very, very well. So we're going to probably even maybe making more niche categories. The kind of stuff you see at Whole Foods or Trader Joe's, you're going to see more and more of that. And you do not need to worry. Your groceries are going to continue to be safe, abundant, but you're going to see them in more variety. The bad part is there's going to be continual.
Exactly. Damian Mason, his book's linked on our website.
Food Recover Fit. Now is a national campaign aimed at the education and awareness of the devastating effects of opioid and heroin abuse and curbing drug and alcohol addiction in the United States. Recover Now is sponsored by treatment facilities nationwide. Many of them have been where you are, and they want to help by spreading a message of hope and recovery. They're working hand in hand with major insurance companies nationwide that can help you or a loved one get clean in 7 to 30 days. Recover Now is embarking on a national outreach campaign on TV and radio to promote anti-addiction messages. So if you, a loved one, or someone you know has a problem with drugs or alcohol, do not wait. A new life for you could be 30 days away. Call us right now. I promise this call can change your life. Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
800-493-4620. 800-493-4620. That's 800-493-4620.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Stocks appear to be rebounding on Wall Street in early trading a day after the Dow Jones Industrial Average logged its worst day since 2008, in part because of coronavirus concerns. President Trump today meeting with Republican senators, pushing for a payroll tax cut that he says would help hourly workers impacted by the coronavirus. He says he wants workers to be in a position so as not to have to miss a paycheck, and that businesses shouldn't be penalized for the virus impacts. Officials say President Trump was exposed to a couple of members of Congress who were exposed to someone who had the virus, but the president's not planning on getting tested for it. The Surgeon General says,
the president's got the best doctors in the world, and they are going to talk to him about his risk and about the circumstances that he's putting himself around.
General Jerome Adams speaking on ABC's Good Morning America, and this is USA Radio News.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS and you cannot afford to make payments to the IRS, you may qualify for the CNC tax program. This is a new program, and if you qualify, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Once you're accepted into this program, the IRS is forced to stop all harassing collection activities. No threatening phone calls, no wage garnishments, no bank levies, and no more monthly payments to the IRS. Get ready to write this number down. It's the most important number you'll ever need to end your IRS tax nightmare. Call Paramount Tax Relief at 800-547-4804 for a free confidential consultation to find out if you qualify for the CNC tax program. Once you are accepted into the CNC tax program, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Call Paramount Tax Relief now at 800-547-4804. That's 800-547-4804. Again, 800-547-4804.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, if it's going to happen, it's going to require all hands on deck. This is a government up for by we the people, lest you forget. And we still remember that a little bit better than Joe Biden. He's had a hard time spitting that out. But, hey, you know that kind. You know what he meant. Yes, Joe, we're with you. We understand. But more than understanding, we have got to, we've got to exercise and activate our citizenship if we're going to get this country on track. I mean, the country we have today, this is what we've allowed to happen. We've created this by kicking back and allowing the elites to take over. They're happy to take over because really they are moving us more and more to, whatever they want to call it, their new brand of democratic socialism. It all says the same thing. Phil Kirpin is up with us next. And Phil is the president of American Commitment. And Phil, tell me I'm wrong. I mean, the country seems to be moving more and more to the left. These Democrats like Bernie Sanders and AOC and those are saying, well, we're not socialists. We're democratic socialists. What the heck does that mean? We're democratic socialists. I mean, a socialist is a socialist is a socialist, is it not?
Well, Bill, great to be with you. Every socialist says that all the previous socialists got it wrong, and they are clever and wonderful enough to get it right, and this is common and typical, and it never quite works out. And it was just a couple of years ago, of course, that Bernie Sanders was praising the great Hugo Chavez as his kind of socialist who was doing it the right way and was wonderful. And now, of course, he's saying, you know, I'm totally against everything Chavez did. That's not what I had in mind. And this is a recurring pattern. Whenever socialist policies have been implemented, they have failed generally spectacularly, and then the college professors and the Marxist intellectuals and the Bernie Sanders of the world say, well, they didn't do it right, but I will. But
right.
We've seen this many, many times before.
Well, the thing is, you got to break it down to its lowest common denominator. I mean, it's either the collective being controlled by a higher power, which is the government, not God, or it's individuals controlled by God. So who wins here? You know, empirically, you look back in history, and whenever, you know, it's controlled by God and we do it God's way, it goes fairly well for us. We move into the realm of the collective because of this theory that somehow just whatever it takes. Phil, we just can't cut the head off of this snake. It you lop it off and it comes back. And with each regeneration, you know, it's like as if we've got to get back on top of the roof and fall off of it to realize gravity still exists. I mean, you've got some empirical laws that come into play with socialism that really in the end spells devastation and murder of the collective.
Well, that's right, and this has been proven for, you know, quite a long time. The market isn't just one of many ways to allocate resources in a society. It's really the only one that works effectively. Prices convey information, and millions of decisions made by millions of individuals and sort of aggregate information and allocate resources in a way that cannot be simulated by government control and command economies. And there's a reason you have chronic shortages and problems and all sorts of inevitable logistical nightmares when you try to replace, a market economy with a command economy, and it doesn't work, and
right.
You end up more often than not in some form of authoritarianism and political repression as a consequence of the inevitable economic dysfunction.
Well, look what we have today in America. I mean, we kind of homogenized and adulterated the integrity of our government. You know, as outlined in our Declaration of Independence and Constitution, and to play nice and to somehow accommodate a group of people, you know, look at the systems that are very, you know, socialistic, you could argue, in nature. How well are they doing as opposed to the free market? When the free market is allowed to reign, I mean, you know, thank you very much, Barack Obama, for the Affordable Care Act. I mean, you've absolutely messed up health care in this country, and we it's like we've got to get ourselves out of this bucket of gum that the Democrats and Nancy Pelosi, who, oh, yeah, like Jack in the Box, said, oh, yeah, we got to pass it to find out what's in it. Are you freaking kidding me? I mean,
well,
this
it's
is
a classic one, right?
Yeah.
Bill, because they... Government makes a total mess of our healthcare system, which did have problems, but all of them were made much, much worse by Obamacare, and costs have increased dramatically, and provider networks are extremely small now, and now we've got the problem of out-of-network providers at network hospitals, and we get these surprise medical bills, and everything is like totally disastrous consequence of what happened the last time Democrats controlled all of government and turned our whole healthcare system on its head. And their solution is to say, oh, you know what? We need more.
We knew that was going to happen. It's like we should, you know, they come back and go, oh, it was all about single payer. We knew that originally, and the reason
they called us liars when we
yes,
said that's where they wanted to go, and now
exactly.
They just say, oh yeah, of course, that's where we want to go.
Right, and then no thanks to Justice Roberts, who folded under the race card pressure of Barack Obama and orchestrating. You know, and working with the attorneys for the government for Barack Obama and saying, oh, no, it's a tax. No, it's not a tax. No, it is a tax. You know, in other words, if you're going to get any support from the Supreme Court and these activist judges, it's a tax because otherwise it has no standing. And they, oh, okay, all right, it's a tax. Even after, you know, the Obama administration insisted all along this was not a tax. No, it was a tax, and that's what allowed it to happen. And then, of course, here we had a chance to finally do away with it. And John McCain, in his, Romanesque gladiator response, puts a thumbs down. And with that thumbs down, it was a hatchet job on the American people, sadly.
Yeah, that's right. And by the way, the Supreme Court's got another Obamacare case on their docket for this next term, and this is a number of states led by Texas who said after Congress cut the penalty tax to zero for violating the individual mandate, they said, wait a second, if the whole law of Obamacare was only upheld because the mandate could be considered a tax, and now the mandate penalty is set at zero, I don't see how you consider that a tax anymore. You should strike down the law according to your own logic.
Exactly.
Well, they're not going to. Spoiler. No. I guarantee the John Roberts Supreme Court will find another reason to save the law. I think there's about a 0% chance. And I would point out that in the second Obamacare Supreme Court case, the one where they said that the words established by the state might mean established by the federal Secretary of Health and Human Services, I just sort of threw the English language out the door to save Obamacare.
Right.
Scalia, in his dissent, said the only consistent principle of the Roberts Court is that they'll do anything to save Obamacare, and I think he was unfortunately correct on that. So I put the chances of this latest legal challenge succeeding in the Roberts Court at exactly 0%.
He could have added with Obamacare, he could have added Roe v. Wade too, right?
Well, we'll see. I don't think
we'll see now.
With just the five Republican-appointed justices, I think they're going to want six. They don't want it to be a 5-4 decision, and I don't think that Roberts has the fortitude to take that on with the current lineup. I could be wrong, but that's my sense.
No, I'm with you on that. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the Supreme Court did us no favors when they made this decision of Roe v. Wade. It has cost us 63 million. Babies, of which 40% has impacted Black America, but where's the voice and outrage from Jesse Jackson or even the Black community in mass, even Hispanics, 25%, and go, wait a minute, you guys are just like shrugging over the murder of your children, and like as if nothing happened, and now because of the disease of Moore, that's not enough. Now we got to be able to have access to their baby parts and sell those up, right?
Well, I think it's done enormous damage to our country that issue was taken out of the normal political policy public realm and just sort of imposed by the court. And we've been suffering a lot of consequences of that ever since. Not just the substantive ones you talked about, but I think it's really poisoned the well politically as well.
Well, he's the president of the American Commitment. Phil Kirpin is with us. When we come back, we're going to be talking about President Trump, who's presided over this booming economy and stock market. We got to look at the trillion-dollar tech companies who have been leading the way. Plus, part two of our discussion regarding AARP. Stay with us. More from Phil after this.
This is sponsored by Accenture. The 20th Annual Technology Vision Report from Accenture shows that although people are embedding technology into their lives more than ever before, organizations' attempts to meet their needs and expectations can fall short. Michael Biltz, Managing Director of the Accenture Technology Vision.
In a world where digital technology is everywhere, there's a tech clash between businesses and the technology models that aren't aligned with people's needs and expectations. To move forward, a new approach is required. Organizations need to focus on balancing their drive to create business value with their customers' and employees' values.
The report is based in part on a survey of more than 8,000 business executives and consumers. It identifies the key tech trends that will impact businesses over the next 3 years and counsels companies on how best to address the opportunities and challenges ahead. For more, please visit Accenture.com/technologyvision. That's Accenture.com/technologyvision.
Now that the Fed has cut interest rates by 0.25%, chances are you're paying too much for your mortgage or those high-interest credit cards. Well, my friends at Network Capital Funding can show you an immediate and smart way to save big money on those monthly bills. In fact, their clients have been saving an average of $528 a month and improving their FICO scores. Imagine what you could do with an extra $6,300 a year. So what are you waiting for? Call Network Capital Funding now, 800-700-8068. We're a direct lender, so there's no middleman and no wasted time. The process is is uniquely fast, simple, and secure. These are the best rates we've seen in 10 years, so now is the time to save. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding, 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068. Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law number 603-D78. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I'm here with Scott Yuseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live. You
call. Hey, welcome back. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, Phil Kirpin continues with us. You know, as I mentioned, President Trump has presided over a booming economy and stock market, and trillion-dollar tech companies are leading the way. I mean, think about this. For 144 days, we set a record stock market. It means 401ks. It means jobs. $4 trillion companies now. And that big headline kind of went by the wayside real quick, Bill. You know, Democrats and mainstream media want to do everything they can to tamp down this blue-collar boom that has been delivered by this Trump administration. And if they can't do that, then on the other hand, they're claiming that it's all because of Obama, right?
Yeah, the way the stocks have sold off lately, I don't know if any of them are still over $1 trillion, but they're probably still the four largest companies. And, you know, I think the point here, which is kind of a crucial one, is that the president is celebrating the success of the big technology companies that have sort of been the leaders when the stock market was booming, and I expect will be again when we get through the coronavirus and markets sort of start to recover. And what these companies need to understand is they have no natural allies on the left. They think that their friends are on the left because they're liberals themselves who run these companies, and that's their ideology and their viewpoint. But they really need to start treating conservatives better on their platforms when it comes to Google and YouTube and Facebook and so forth. And they need to put on a little bit of a charm offensive, I think, with conservatives because we're their natural allies.
Exactly.
If the Democrats are in power, they want to break these companies up, regulate them, we take them over in all sorts of different ways because their philosophy is that big companies are bad, that economic success is a bad thing, and they're sort of inherently hostile to them as much as they might want to cozy up to them and think they want to see them win sort of just based on their own politics. And they need to stop alienating conservatives because, frankly, we should be their natural allies, but the way they've been mistreating conservatives, we got a lot of conservatives who want to break them up and regulate them and that kind of thing.
Right.
And if they're smart, they'll sort of figure out, wait a second, nothing we do, as long as we're big, successful corporations, is ever going to satisfy the left and make them leave us alone. Maybe we ought to stop going out of our way to anger conservatives and instead try to get a little bit closer to our natural allies so that we can keep the good times going.
Well, maybe like Fox News that realized Roger Ailes said, look, there's an opportunity in the marketplace, and we've long said there's an opportunity in the tech sector, you know, that is, you know, conservative-centric because of, you know, the philosophy of these four tech giants that continue to cater to the left, and they're doing them no favors. I mean, I don't know, maybe at the cocktail parties there in Silicon Valley and D.C. and that, maybe they quietly say, hey, don't worry about it. You know, this is all just rhetoric for, you know, for the election season. You know, hey, it's still me and you. We're still there together. But it's just amazing to me because of the mixed messages you say. I mean, clearly you look at the comparison of what the conservative market delivers to tech versus liberals and how they're threatening to break them up. They're doing them no favors, but they still want to dance with that devil.
Yeah, you know, look, as much as conservatives like to hate these big tech companies, and sometimes with very good reason, they've actually been a really, really good thing for us because, you know, before they rose up, we had very limited ways to get our messages out and to organize and to connect with other conservatives. The left had a stranglehold on the newspapers and the network media. We had talk radio, certainly, but we've gotten so much more of an opportunity for conservatives to connect and to sort of innovate around the liberal media with the big tech companies and the platforms they've created with YouTube and Facebook and so forth. And that's been a fabulous thing for conservatives. Of course, liberals hate that. They want to shut it down. And so their whole push is to try to get these companies to implement hate speech restrictions and aggressive fact-checking and all sorts of different mechanisms that amount to basically shutting conservatives up and knocking us off of these platforms. And these companies, if they're smart, will reject those calls and will say, look, you know, we're going to be a level playing field. We're going to be sort of neutral and even because we want customers across the political spectrum. We don't want to alienate conservatives, not to mention that if they do sort of throw their lot in with the liberals, I don't believe there's any secret deal to leave them alone if they come into power. I think they will be unable to resist their sort of impulse to punish success and to attack big companies because they are big companies. And, you know, I think there's a very good chance these companies will be severely hamstrung by investigations and regulation and taxes and so forth if they face an all-Democrat government.
God, could you imagine? I mean, this, it will be on steroids. But like Michael Jordan said, conservatives buy tennis shoes as well. And you got to realize what you're in business for. Are you in business, you know, to generate revenue for your stockholders, or is it, is it a political ideology? And this is what the leadership of these tech companies have to decide. I mean, it's one thing to have your own, you know, personal beliefs and support whatever, you know, campaigns that you want to do, but when you are serving, you know, the American people, you can't look at it through the lens of a, you know, a political filter. If you do, that's to your own demise. And right now, you can get away with it because you're still relatively new. You're still emerging. But at some point, you're going to hit that level, as all companies do, and where you can ill afford to be losing customers when you're looking to expand your tent.
I think that's exactly right, Bill. And I think they are sort of recalibrating right now and trying to figure out the right path. And to be fair, they are under tremendous pressure from the left to eliminate conservative speech, handicap it, call everything hate speech, flag things as false, fact-check, all this kind of stuff. And so, you know, they don't have an easy out necessarily, but if they're smart, you know, they'll be as ideologically neutral as they can and really try to be welcoming to conservatives because, as I said, we're much more their natural allies in terms of our policy beliefs and our philosophy of government than the left is.
No, that's great insight. Well, and it's a tough deal because when you are altering your inflow of, in terms of what brought you to the dance, and they've got to throttle back in one area, which will it could cost them short term a couple of bucks. Long term, it will pay dividends for them. And, but sometimes it's tough when you're used to operating a company that's generating $1 trillion and you got to back it off, 10, 15% in order to sustain. That takes some courage and leadership to be able to do that.
It does, but look, if the alternative is a massive government footprint that sort of knocks your whole business model off, you'd be foolish not to recalibrate in the near term to prevent that. And I think that's sort of the assessment that they're looking at right now. And of course, there are a lot of conservatives who hate these companies so much that they want politicians on the right and Republican politicians to do this kind of stuff to them. And they're now sort of besieged on all sides, and I think they've got to sort of figure out, look, this is our best exit strategy is to operate our businesses voluntarily, mm-hmm. in a way that's sort of politically fair, and that will at least solve the problem from the right. And mm-hmm. The problem from the left, I suspect, is somewhat unsolvable, but at least they could get right with their natural allies.
Well, Phil, Google still has damage control to deal with. I mean, for all the hoopla about Russian interference, and we found out in 2016 what Google was doing, and they were really upset, and here we have the CEO on video declaring to everybody that they're going to do everything they can to make sure Donald Trump doesn't get reelected, that what happened in 2016, as much as would count on Google, will never happen again. I mean, you can't make those kind of statements, again, in light of all that we went through with Russian interference, I mean, you really realize between ballot harvesting that went rampant in California and the other shenanigans and voter fraud that went in. I mean, we're so upset about what Putin did or may not did. I mean, had done that. We are just adding fuel to a little bit of a flame. And even according to the former president, Barack Obama ensured us that not one vote was altered by what the Russians did. But to hear him today, oh, my God, you thought, well, the only way that Donald Trump could have possibly gotten elected to be president was because of Vladimir Putin. End of story.
I think it's pretty clear that whatever it was Russia was doing had almost nothing to do with the outcome of the last election, and that's just an excuse that Democrats have made for years and to justify a pretext for their various investigations and harassment of the president and so forth. But I do think that, look, if Google wanted to put a thumb on the scale and shade search results in a certain direction, they could probably have a significant impact on election outcomes. But I think it would be very foolish, very short-sighted of them to do so, especially if they do it to put a left-wing Democratic administration in that's going to have mm-hmm. aggressively pro-regulation people at the FCC and the FTC and the Justice Department Antitrust Division. And, if they did that, I believe they would come to regret it. And, they've got to see that, I think.
Well, I hope somebody's keeping an eye on them, don't you think?
I hope so, and I think people are. And I think if they do try something like that, it'll probably be exposed.
Well, Phil, look forward to having you back, because we wanted to talk about AARP's marketing program that we had talked about earlier, but we didn't get a chance to get into that. But you'll be back, and we will get into that as well. Phil Kirpin has been with us. He's the president of American Commitment. Phil, where can I go for more information?
AmericanCommitment.org.
Hey, just like that. It's that simple. Phil, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it. Take care. Have a great day.
Have a good one.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks.
Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.